Listener Production.
Hi, I'm Nat Kringoutis and welcome to The Wellness Collective, the podcast dedicated to helping women feel happier, healthier and better. I'm a natural women's health expert with over 17 years experience and I'm passionate about helping women feel great in their bodies and minds. On this podcast, I cut through all the noise in the wellness space by interviewing experts from around the globe to discover the very best ideas and theories that will help you improve every aspect of your health. I don't think anyone is surprised in how we are really seeing some major shifts in the way some medical professionals are coming at health and really shaking up the industry. And I can't say how excited I am to watch some of the breakthroughs, in inverted commas, that I would say other industries have been talking about for a long time. But I guess at least having the science now to back up some of these theories is refreshing. Our guest today, I am very, very excited. I've just finished recording this and it was such a pleasure. But Dr. Ben Johnson, I could have spoken to forever and I'm a little bit, not polarized, but I'm just like in awe of the conversation that we just had. We're here to talk about skin and particularly, you know, obviously issues with skin and how that's much more than just a topical treatment or a supplement. And Dr. Ben is really a thought leader in this space, definitely, and really making some amazing discoveries and actually putting that out there into his education and products. We're going to talk about hormones and skin, and we're going to talk about what's actually wrong with skin care today. We talk a lot about teen skin and teen health, but also how Ben is very, very passionate about putting the body into the right environment to get the best outcome. And environment not just being where you live, but making sure that there's several boxes ticked in your life that allow your skin to thrive. And it's a lot more simple than you probably think. We talk about xenoestrogens, we talk about liver health, we talk about frequency medicine, we talk about sun exposure, so many things in this episode. I am super excited. Let's get into this next episode of The Wellness Collective. Dr. Ben, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm very excited. I've got some questions.
Woohoo, I love it.
So for those that don't know you or your work, perhaps give us a little bit of a backstory. You're an expert in skin, but yeah. How did you land there?
Well, yeah, it was kind of a funny story. I was started off in sports medicine. While I was in training, I opened up my first aesthetic clinic and then had my entrepreneurial side of me that was like, I'm going to do this all over the United States. And I got about 6 months in, I'd already opened up 6 clinics, was hiring friends from high school, did everything wrong. But the reason why it was really impactful for me is because at the time, I was being convinced by false marketing, you know, and I feel like the skincare industry is such a, it's a bit of a car salesman-y, over-marketed proposition. And so at the time, I was convinced by the laser companies that the device I was buying, it took 3 treatments and the hair was dead. And so I gave every one of my patients a lifetime guarantee based on that commitment. And
How did that go?
That circled the drain down. It did not go well. But so the universe closing a door, opening another, because while I was doing that, I formulated my first skincare line, and it's still around. Cosmetics is pretty popular here in Australia. Yeah, and so that got me started, and then really started Osmosis in 2007 with just a whole different concept, kind of taking that same, you know, because I always teach passionately, and if I believe in what I'm saying, you know, I you can tell in how I talk about it. And so in those first years with my first line, I really believed I was making real changes in the skin, and I realized at the end of that foray that I wasn't. And so I had to kind of go back to the drawing board on what's wrong with skincare today that we're not seeing permanent change. And I believe that I've solved that riddle for the most part, and so I'm really proud of how Osmosis has evolved. You know, like in the beginning, I didn't even do wellness, but I added wellness because I've soon learned that most skin conditions come from the inside.
I think it's very important that we actually look at that approach. I have a teenage daughter and I'm trying to educate her how much of this is inside out.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, after four kids, I'm going to tell you.
Well, and it would probably be one of the number one questions I get asked, especially from mothers. What do I do for my teenager?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, make sure she goes to the toilet every day. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Is she eating enough fiber? Good.
Yeah.
Is she? And you know, because also though, and I want to talk about this because we are the greatest example. So, you know, we can talk about teenagers and we can talk about that, but I do think that we as the parent need to be the example. And if we haven't figured this out ourselves, how are we supposed to educate these teenagers?
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
You know, if someone asks me off the bat, I'm like, okay, look at their sugar intake, make sure they're eating enough fiber and get them to start going to the toilet daily. Start with that.
I like it. It's not always the most pleasant conversation, but you just get right down to it.
Well, I'm used to that. I talk about bowels a lot.
Oh, that's so good. I actually do as well. And it's and you wouldn't think, like, how much does bowel health have to do, and of course the microbiome and gut health have to do with skin? Just about everything.
Right.
It's unbelievable, the connection. So I love that advice. And yeah, you know, with teenagers, the pitfalls that I see, actually one of the areas that is a misunderstood area is sour. So citrusy things actually create a lot of mucus in the digestive tract.
Mm.
That leads to candida overgrowth. Blackheads, congested skin is actually caused by mucus. And so I teach people about, you know, avoiding the Slurpees and the sour candies and the Sour Patch Kids. That were my kids' favorites options back in the day. And, you know, you were saying, well, they got to look to the parent. Listen,
did you like the Sour
Starburst,
Patch candy?
Starburst jelly beans, man. It was a weakness of mine until about 5 years ago. Like, it was a problem.
Great example.
And ice cream.
Apple doesn't fall far from any tree,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So the sugar gene definitely passed down. And then where else? You know, fast food.
Yeah.
You just, it's toxic.
It's really difficult because no teenager wants to be told what to do, which is why I come back to leading by the example. But I have to say, and I'm sure you would see this too, you know, many of us aren't actually doing that ourselves. We're probably more concerned about our loved ones having better skin than what we are often about ourselves. And so therefore not being, actually firstly not investing in ourselves, which I think is so important because how you step outside every day really for me dictates how I exist in the world.
Right.
And if my skin is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not showing up well.
Right. Oh, and no. And in those formative years, you know, I see so many of these teenagers who struggle with acne and it's just devastating to their social life, to their sense of self. And so it's very important. But, you know, that I always, I guess, and by that example, maybe because I was in the aesthetic industry, you know, I always took good care of myself and presented well, and my kids have carried that forward. But yeah, trying to convince them to not eat fast food, trying to help them realize that the error of my ways, you saw me eat all that sugar, but now I'm telling you, please don't do it. And so it certainly is a big challenge. But for a lot of parents, they don't know what they don't know. And so one of the areas I'm not sure we're going to agree on, and I'm kind of curious to see where this goes, is I've just found a lot of minefields within the supplement industry itself where people think it says it's, you know, it's a multivitamin. Of course it's good for me. Or this antioxidant, of course it's good for me. And I'm like, some of these aren't. And so it's helping parents know where they can help themselves and their children. So,
well, I think to that point too, and, you know, I don't know who we blame for this or who we point the finger at, but I can't tell you how many people ask me every day, what's the one supplement I can take for my skin? Or what's the one supplement I can take for my gut? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice?
The magic pill? I've got it right here in my pocket.
Right, but we say this and we joke about it, but the question is still frequently asked because, well, from the medical industry, we go to our health provider or our doctor and we want they want to provide us with solution. We want a solution.
Solution with quotation marks around it, if you ask me.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. So, you know, there's pressure from a prescribing perspective that we put on as a patient or consumer. And so that's, I think, where the issue starts is that we're kind of led to believe that there is one thing that you can take. There is one thing you can do.
Yeah.
And that becomes difficult.
Well, and as we know, like everything is layers of complicated layers of you know, because the body is so resilient in overcoming the first thing that you might expose it to. But then that might lead to a symptom in another area. And the next thing you know, while it might be in medicine, they give you, let's just say, the solution for a runny nose. There's three or four layers underneath that that need to be peeled away. And for me, you know, big part of my education every day is because I work with my clients and their clients every day on a personal level. And that has actually led me to learn so much. That's how I know which supplements are dangerous and harmful, because I see the skin changing in front of these, in front of my eyes and my client's eyes. There isn't one solution. You know, the reminder that I give everyone is the body is literally AI running our cells, and it is doing. It is amazingly resilient to all the toxins we're exposed to, like over a million toxins a day, is by the estimates. And in order to help the body thrive, you know, the first step's knowing what to avoid. And then you can start looking at, well, how do I holistically support the actions that my body needs right now? And
To that point, too, I think when you're in a state where you are flaring, you know, your skin's telling you that very often. That shows up for the individual differs, right? It could be breakouts. It could be congestion. It could be rosacea. It could be many things. Psoriasis, whatever. Yeah. Yes, right? Yeah. So the first thing is actually looking to what my body is telling me. But also when you're in a state of flare and you're reactive, the first thing is to actually stop that activity, right? And I don't know about you, but this is where I say often supplements make it worse.
Oh, yeah. No, I do. And, you know, and here I am as a, you know, formulator of supplements.
Right.
But
it's the right thing.
But they're very
at the right
targeted.
Time.
Exactly. Mm. It's very targeted for what your skin is telling you. I'll tell you where the problem is. So you're so right on that. And I'll just give you an example. And again, I don't know. I haven't listened to enough of your stuff to say, oh, you're going to agree with me here. But, you know, there's a clinical trial that shows if people take probiotics, it will slow their recovery from antibiotics more than taking nothing at all.
Right.
And everyone thinks probiotics are the elixir to life right now, and the microbiome is so important. But I actually have a unique perspective, and that is that your microbiome didn't come from the food you ate, because these are exotic bacteria in our guts,
right.
Very exotic and also very different between us. And they come from your DNA. So I believe the microbiome's programmed, and what you need is good foods, prebiotics, not probiotics. And so people go running, they start feeling constipation, and they go running to a probiotic. And guess what? The probiotic harms their gut, and maybe it loosens things up a little bit. And they're like, oh, that was the solution. No. They go to the magnesium, and they take magnesium citrate or magnesium hydroxide, and it wounds the gut, and then that loosens things up. And like, and so I've just find that it's so hard to find the truth amongst all of the stories, and, you know, so it's just been I'm always in a learning process to get it right. But I so appreciate your answer, because the body can fix stuff on its own. And when it's inflamed, a lot of times it gets to the inflammation from you trying to do something in the first place.
Yeah, I can relate to that for sure. So let's talk about stress, because I feel like it's such a trigger for whatever your predisposition might be.
Yes.
We're talking about all of these different conditions we just mentioned.
Absolutely.
But the trigger of those really is some type of stressor.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's well documented, like IBS. So, you know, one of the key triggers is stress. I found actually the emotion of insecurity triggers acne formation,
really?
Which is really fascinating.
How did you find that out?
I found where the stubborn cases were happening, and I saw the link between these kids. And you say, well, of course, acne causes insecurity, of course. And it's like, no, but isn't that ironic that acne makes you insecure, but insecurity makes you get acne. And
but this makes me think along the same lines as infertility. You start to believe that you're going to be infertile based on you listening to everybody else having troubles with their fertility, and you adopt their fact as your truth.
Mm.
If everybody's looking at, I don't want to get acne as a kid, and you're seeing other people, you're already developing that, you know, you're inviting that very thing in that you don't want to happen.
Kids are cruel. And that's the other thing. I feel like kids have lost. There's some level of empathy that's been removed somewhere. I don't know if it's in all their social media watching, whatever's happened. But this is like what parent rule number one is: make sure your kids are empathetic to others, and because kids are being socially isolated and all that, and so acne becomes a very target of people's abuse. And so, yeah, kids get insecure and then they get more acne.
And then they get prescribed birth control at the age of 14.
Yes.
I wonder why they have hormone issues.
Oh, yes. Or antibiotics for 2 years, right, even though it's not really helping. Or Accutane, which is poisonous beyond belief. And so for me, a lot of those pitfalls, it's unbelievable. Yes, I'm always educating women, get off birth control. It's a poison. But let me just speak to infertility because that's an interesting thought. You know, I guess I would say there's probably a deeper, another podcast, another time on just people's insecurity and fears over becoming a mother and being able to do a good job. And that probably is. There's always an emotional piece.
Well, yeah, for sure with that too. There's so much pressure when, you know, to get the career and things in a certain timeline.
Yes.
And, you know, if we removed all of that and kind of just let it flow, I wonder how different things would be.
But I know, and we're going to get way off topic here,
really,
but the other thing is
it's
relationships. Like, everybody's, like, the relationship system's broken right now. Men and women are kind of going to their separate corners, not really sure how to even interact with each other. I'm a little fearful for the next few decades all of that.
But we'll learn eventually. But
yeah, but let me just speak to infertility because I've had a really fascinating understanding on that. And I feel like I know the number one cause of infertility.
Okay.
And that is xenoestrogens.
Mm-hmm.
And the exposure comes from food preservatives. A lot of people don't know that their labels don't include these mm-hmm. estrogen-mimicking food preservatives, mm-hmm. Estrogenic pesticides. Chlorine is all our tap water. That actually has an estrogenic component to it. And so women are just men too. And men have their own gynecomastia and feminization issues. But women, with the menstrual cycle and all the bleeding irregularities and the lack of ovulation, and they don't know how to get out of it because, oh, by the way, it causes chronic weight gain. So what I see happening is you get all these exposures to these chemicals. Your body so brilliantly says, these can't sit in the organs, let's move them to the fat,
mm-hmm.
cellulite, chronic weight gain. And then the women get on the treadmill and they're eating less fat and they're like, why am I not losing this weight? And it's because you're not healthy enough for your fat cells to go, I can now put this in the bloodstream to get it out the liver or get out the... And so it takes, they accumulate these toxins for decades. So it takes a year or two to get rid of all of them and get your ovulation cycle back and get your menstrual cycle back into regular. And infertility is on the rise. And then, some taboo topics, but there's other things affecting fertility these days. So it's a real challenge. And
totally. I would say 90% of my patients, I treat their estrogen. Like that's literally what I spend my days doing. I'm like, why are we missing this? I mean, collectively, I say we, from an industry perspective, the estrogen side of it to me is so obvious.
I know.
So obvious, but we, and this is again,
it's
I'm
not
like,
discussed in eat the traditional
more
medical. For estrogen?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I have a theory with this. Fiber is great. Generally, many fibers are a great prebiotic. You've already touched on prebiotics,
fair,
right? If you're not able to clear it properly and it's sitting in the bowel, what happens with it? Gets reabsorbed.
Okay.
And then it's just the same cycle repeating itself.
I hadn't put the whole constipation reabsorption part into the picture.
So, but equally, if you're not moving it, but I always say to patients also, if you're moving your bowels too fast and you're not getting that binding action and it's not being shipped out, it's still going to exist in your system. So to me, I don't know. I'm just like.
Yeah? Yeah, well, you're even going to say diarrhea, does it?
Yeah,
well.
I am, to a degree, not always, but if it's not being moved out adequately.
I'm open to that idea. It's a new concept to me. I'm definitely open to it. It gets absorbed a lot into the bloodstream, so I don't know that it gets excreted so easily. I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing... estrogen toxins linked to breast cancer, and that makes sense. And you have a PCOS, cysts on the ovary. I believe it's caused by food preservative estrogenic toxins. And then you have, I think endometriosis is a virus, but there is a host of these conditions that suggest that not as much gets in, I guess, to the waist as I'm hearing you describe.
Well, one other missing piece of that is liver. liver detoxification pathways.
Yes.
I didn't say that. With in conjunction. Yeah. That's where my, I'm like, anyway.
So if they're in the process, if they're constipated while they're trying to detox, they're going to have a, that's a nice addition.
Let's talk about the liver health for a minute. Because, when it comes to skin.
Oh, yeah. So listen, I have a lot of revelations that no one else in our industry is suggesting. And one of the ones I'm passionate about is liver causing skin issues. So rosacea, about a third of all cases of rosacea are coming from the liver. And liver shows on the skin and really everywhere on the entire face, neck, and down the arms primarily. So if you get redness, like I just said the other day, someone who had just got a big patch of redness on her neck. And so I was like, are you on medication? That's always my first question, because most of these medications are liver harming, and that'll show up as a big skin rash and people can't figure it out. And then she says no. And then I'm like, okay, let me look at your supplement list. She's like, I'm just on, this magnesium, and it was magnesium hydroxide. So for her, it showed as rash on the neck. But the most common presentation is pigmentation. So melasma is from liver damage. Some antidepressants cause melasma. Some anxiety medicines cause melasma. And then the other side of this is something called liver spots, which we all thought was some old wives' tale. Turns out it's a liver spot. And so...
this is fascinating to me, though.
Yeah.
In the sense of, we just don't talk about this enough, yet it's obviously in front of our eyes, and you're like, this is blatantly obvious to you.
Yeah, now I just see the link all the time. Because what I was telling, on the occasion when I have a dermatologist who will actually listen to or have a conversation, it's rare. I'm like, well, listen, people that have liver transplants, they develop melasma. Mm. People that get hepatitis are getting melasma. Mm. You're starting to see this link here. Yeah. And so that's how it all kind of came together for me. But I created a supplement that actually accelerates liver repair. So I'm excited about that. And so there's solutions for it. I don't want to make everyone feel like it's a lost hope.
I've got another question.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about quantum skincare. What does that even mean?
Well, part of my skincare approach is frequency medicine. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you're going with it.
So for the person that doesn't understand what frequency medicine is, let's just explain that.
Yeah. Probably the best way for the layperson to grasp this is to understand where quantum physics has taken us and all their research. And it's just been a rapid fire of new information all the time. Just recently CERN did an experiment where they showed they were looking at the Higgs boson, a particle of an atom, and they were trying to prove the existence of the Higgs field. And that, for layperson, is literally the matrix. So we live in this energy field. And if you want to think of frequency, the best way to describe frequency is it's a signature. And every substance has its own signature. And in the case of a frequency, what that means is how many cycles per second is that going? So something can have, you might turn your radio channel to 106.5 hertz. Well, that's because there's a wavelength shooting out of their tower at that frequency. Each of the cells in your body, each of the hormones in your body, every little component of your body has this thing shooting out of its little tower, this field that it radiates, and it's its signature wave. So what I learned was some ways to hack the system, understand, for example, what is the frequency of each amino acid? What is the resonant frequency? So resonant frequency, this gets a little deep, but I'll try to keep it simple. Resonant frequency is like when you are hitting a piano. So one key, let's just say, is a frequency. And then you hit, all five fingers hit keys at the same time. That note that generates from all those five notes is the resonant frequency. So your liver is full of all kinds of little frequencies, and it puts off one healthy resonance. So you learn what is the healthy resonance of the digestive tract.
That's like the collective.
the collective. Mm-hmm. And so I either am trying to enhance a collective healthy resonant frequency with medicine, mm-hmm. or with waves, or I'm trying to identify, for example, estrogen. I know the frequency of the resonant frequency of estrogen. And so I will put that into a formula or into a skincare product. Most of my skincare doesn't have hormonal frequencies in it, but they have other ones in them. And it's like turning up the volume. So I'm not going to change your estrogen level. I'm going to turn up the amplitude, and people feel it. Like, it'll help them with menopausal symptoms or things like that. Mm-hmm. So quantum skincare, to the degree we use it, and I use it in, you know, not every product. I use it in maybe 10 products. But you just need to know the cells of your skin are vibrating, and they communicate at that level, not just on the, you know, everyone thinks it's a receptor going into the channel and they unlock an action in the cell. There's an energy communication way below that is the real action.
And with putting these into products, what have you seen? Like, you're the one that's seeing firsthand what happens with the results here. What are we seeing?
Oh, well, you know, it depends. Like, on the wellness side is really where I'm getting the most action, because it's, and I think of my wellness as the skincare, right? But, you know, for example, there are numbers within the golden ratio. Are you familiar with the golden ratio concept? So all of nature's operating within the golden ratio. Guess what? All of the cells of the body, when they're healthy, operate in the golden ratio. So I work a lot with golden ratio frequencies, which I believe draw the cell back to its highest performing state. I put golden ratio frequencies, for example, in my prebiotic. Mm-hmm. And one of the cool things about my prebiotic, I don't know if how much you know about some of my stuff, but I refill the structural fat pads of the body and the face with this product.
Aren't we told we can't refill those? That they're gone forever?
Yes. That is a non-truth. I am so excited about this formula. It's a specific collection of fatty acids. You know, it's from sea buckthorn, fruit pulp, and seed extracts that I chose the combination based on their content. And, you know, I asked the question, you know, to the universe, because, you know, when you're inventing stuff, it's really, I think of it as tapping into this greater consciousness stream. And if you're fortunate enough to get that answer, then it's amazing. So anyway, I get sort of these ideas. I start working on it, and I'm like, is that really possible? And then it worked, and it was amazing. So that formula has the golden ratio frequency set in it. But, you know, I'll do the frequency of fibroblast growth factor. Mm-hmm. So that is a growth factor that's really critical in stimulating collagen and elastin. Or I'll do the frequency of glutathione, one of the best antioxidants in the skin. And, you know, I have not, you know, I don't even know what level of investment it would take to do a actual microscopic analysis of live skin to see how it impacts it. But we haven't done that yet.
I'm all about it. It's so exciting.
You are.
I am. Couple more questions, because I know time is precious.
Yeah.
What about scarring? Because I feel like it's something that there's the person listening now, and they're like, "Oh, I'm too far down this road."
No, that's where I get really excited. We actually have the only topical product that's ever reactivated scar remodeling, a product we call Catalyst. It's based off C, but everyone uses C. Mm. Nobody reverses scarring. Mm-hmm. And so what I had to do was go into how the skin physiology works. Basically, everyone thinks C is all about the antioxidant, but in reality, C is all about making amino acids sticky so they can form chains like collagen and elastin. And so that process is hydroxylation. And so what I've done is I made it so that my amino acids and my C and my copper and my zinc in the bottle are hydroxylating while it's sitting on the shelf before you even buy it. And then when it touches the skin, the action's really quick. So that actually reverses scarring. But I've actually started another company called Extract. And this company, we revascularize scar tissue. and that restores. So like we're treating stretch marks really well.
Wow.
But it's, you know, we have to use a needle. So there's some trauma there. This is not usually in my game. But in order to make real changes in scarring, we've had great success with that. And then I have a product called Rescue that uses a patented ingredient called trioxaline. And this is for hypertrophic scarring, where if you're like someone who's prone to hypertrophic scarring, let's say you just have a surgery and you're worried about it, if you put this on the wound, it won't form a hypertrophic scar.
Wow.
But what my summary of scarring would be is this. The body knows exactly what to do. If it's interfered with, and especially if it's interfered with repeatedly, that is when, you know, everything happens on a very specific timeline. So it might be in phase, let's call it day 6 of the wound repair process. And let's say it's an acne lesion, and you're on day 6 of the healing, it's about to set up and really form nicely, and then another acne spot comes right on that same one. And now all of a sudden, you have started over in the same spot that you're on phase 6 on, confusing chemical conversations are happening in the skin, and something fails on one side or the other. And then the other piece of it that's just far too common is trauma. Like so many people are throwing acids on their acne or benzoyl peroxide on their acne, and that stuff will add to more scar formation. So I'm rather encouraged with just about every scar that we can make real progress on it. Like when the catalyst I mentioned earlier, that you know, you're going to get somewhere between 40 and 70% remodeling of, say, 20-year-old acne scars, which is amazing, but, you know, not 100%. So sometimes you've got to go in, and some people will do some needling and some, you're basically breaking up adhesions in the skin. So there's a way to go, but I can tell you, like, generally what doctors do is they laser it and they rewound it, and that's not always a good answer.
Been down that road many times. But it's interesting because I feel like, Like every part of the medical world, we're all practicing, we're all learning, we're all finding out new things.
I wouldn't say every part. Unfortunately, there's a huge section that's not trying to learn anything new.
I mean, sorry, true, but yeah. I think the practice part is what I'm talking about. Nobody knows. Like, there's so many things that we don't actually know, and we're being told at face value that this is fact, and then we find out 10 years later actually that was wrong.
No, I mean, if medicine needs a huge dose of humility is what you're saying, and that is where, listen, if you're going to a practitioner right now and they don't have that sense of humility that they don't know everything, you need to find a new one in my book.
100%. I say this all the time. People say, my doctor won't do this or listen about this. I said, we'll find a new doctor. Like, that's not, you know, it's 2023.
Yeah. Yeah, you have more freedoms. Let's hope we still have these freedoms a year from now. But
Totally. One last thing.
Yeah.
Environment in terms of skin. I think, you know, it's not shocking when maybe the season changes that our skin might change and we respond to that.
It's all logical how it works.
Right. But what about at a, not a deeper level, but I'm thinking about, for example, Melbourne, the most locked up city in the world in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
How that type of environment impacts skin.
Oh, well, I mean, I know from having talked to Tatiana that you're passionate about the benefits of sun. And I mean, that alone to me is something I try to explain to people, like, literally sun is proven to stimulate collagen and elastin. You don't want to get a sunburn, but oh my gosh, it's extends life. It reduces disease. It's phenomenal. So there's that.
I'm so glad that you're saying this.
Oh yeah. I was like, when Tatiana told me that, I'm like, yes, ma'am. We're sisters, brothers from another mother. So, being exposed to toxins is creating acne. We didn't really have the chance to get into digestive rosacea, but the toxins from foods are creating this imbalance. Candida is a huge cause of skin problems. So I have a big focus of treating yeast and mucus to help with the digestive environmental piece of skin issues. And, you know, I guess, you know, there is an impact from being in front of a computer screen. There is an impact from certain types of lighting. And it's so minor compared to the nasties that are out there that I don't emphasize that as much. But, you know, I think you spoke earlier on to probably the biggest environmental influence, and it's going to go back to quantum. Let's tie it all up together. And that is your thoughts, you know, how you feel, the emotions you're carrying on a day-to-day basis literally create this this cloud of energy that surrounds all your cells. So if they're negative thoughts, that environment is going to distort your cells. You know, I'm a big teacher about epigenetics, and you know, people don't realize, like, or they're starting to realize that epigenetics speaks to so many diseases, and it's influenced by your emotions, of course, toxins, you know, so many parts of our life we don't even realize. Like, I think cancer is just an epigenetic change of these cells. So, you know, going back to this emotional thing, you know, people get all obsessed over cortisol. I'm like, cortisol is not the problem. It's the stress that you carry that is, cortisol is actually trying to repair the damage.
100%. Yes. I say this to patients all the time. You think your body's failing you in this situation. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do under the circumstances.
Yes. And so if just, you know, the self-awareness, and then that's where meditation, you know, introspection, healing old trauma, these things go so far. Like I give people a list of the top 10 causes of aging. Number one at the top is emotions. Mm. The inflammatory cascades that are triggered by that we don't fully understand.
I love this. We're not totally pressed for time. I want one more question.
Yeah, there's no one sitting outside the booth right
not
now.
Not yet. Not
banging
yet.
Banging on the door.
No, we've got a little bit of time.
Oh, okay.
So for the person that's listening going, okay, where do I start? Can you give us, you know, if you were to say, all right, these are the top four things, top five, it doesn't really matter, whatever for you, where can somebody actually break the chain, so to speak?
Mm.
Is emotions first? Is it getting aware of what they are? Like, that's a hard one.
Emotions would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, once they kind of hit 30, start to realize there's some work they should do on it. But it's not an easy task. And if there was trauma, and I mean, the tragedies of childhood these days, like, there's so much trauma people are having to overcome. It's easy to say. I just know it took me a few decades, and I didn't have a lot of trauma. Mm. It just takes time to work through and really find who you are and what's, you know, your purpose, if you want to say. Mm. So there's that. And then, you know, like I said, and you said as well, like, it's about what you don't do is better than what you do. So for me,
less is more.
Less is more.
Is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. So I've been trying to make a supplement a fiber supplement, after all, that contains.
I'll be your spokesperson for the fiber.
It says organic psyllium husk. It's a lovely formula.
I have a formula.
Have that?
Yes,
oh,
I do.
There you go. Okay.
You know why I made it? Because I was sick of saying to patients, "Could you please mix together for me slippery elm, psyllium, chia seeds, and did I say flax? No.
No. Yeah.
Please mix those four things together for me.
Oh, so you
and
went,
take it
you
as
went
a,
did it.
Well, no one would do it. So I was like, and I wanted it to be organic. I was like, it's better if it's organic. At least some of those things are going to be better organic.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So I went and made it, and it makes me laugh. We sell so much of it.
Well, I totally agree.
But I'm not a gatekeeper of those ingredients because they're just food.
No, but I just found out, like, the whole way they're restraining naturopaths and making them do TGA only. I was like, what the heck is going on over here? It's really bad. So anyway, so I kind of push especially multivitamins where they contain like 15 different berry extracts, which are preserved in this or that or whatever, or have pesticide in them, whatever. We could go forever on which foods to avoid.
Right. Well, look.
But I know how to win your heart. Just eat fiber all day long.
Well, maybe not all day long, but I think it's very good. And it's very, I don't think we eat enough of it.
And
by the
way, what's your name of your product? Let's throw that in there.
Oh, it's literally my Balancing Cleanse Shake. It's really not that, like I said, people can actually create this themselves. It's very basic, but
you added all the great stuff.
We're reformulating that at the moment. That's another story.
Oh, you are? Oh, yeah. I can't give you any secrets.
No, sorry, right. So, well, thank you so much. This has been super informative. We could talk for hours. We probably should get you back to talk for another hour at some point
in
time.
I think so. I love it. You know, I love finding people that are like-minded. And listen, if you're reaching a wonderful audience, and I think that's hard to do these days too. Everyone, you know, we were all getting lost in the little celebrity BS stories, and the, you know, people that are looking to really help themselves, they find you.
Yeah.
And I think that's proven out, right?
Yeah, thank you. Where can people find you? Or
Yeah. So I have a podcast called Ask Dr. Ben, and that's available on any podcast system. I actually haven't made one in a while, so don't judge my dates.
You need to go and make some more.
I do.
Although the person listening now, they can go and catch up before you make more.
Well, yeah, I have a ton of information that is just a little bit, it's not dated from like, you'll still never have heard most of what I'm saying, but it is old for my book.
It's old for you.
Yeah. And then I have osmosisbeauty.com is our website. Bunch of videos on there that YouTube and others just talking about how to choose the right skincare products and how to reverse aging, how to clear skin conditions permanently. And I say permanently a little bit with a quotation marks because we keep re-exposing ourselves, you're treating the source of the skin condition, but you're also going to be educated on this is how it comes back. Mm. I think we're doing things no one else in the world's doing. So I hope people will come by and check it out.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And keep going. I could talk to you for
hours.
Yeah,
we could do this all day.
Yeah. See you later.
All right. Take care.
I don't even know how to follow that all up with saying goodbye. But isn't that a breath of fresh air when you've got a medical doctor who can see things in a way that is, it's just refreshing, but to me makes so much sense. And I think that's the part that I love the most, make it make sense. And I think Dr. Ben really just did the most amazing job of that. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. You can tell I thoroughly did. I'm kind of a little bit like lost for words just because of the entirety of it. But of course, as always, if you've liked this episode, go ahead and rate it. And I mean, this podcast, go ahead, rate the podcast. If you like this episode, I'd love to know. But as always, I do hope that this episode has left you feeling happier, healthier, and of course, a little bit better. Bye.